All right, well, welcome to this section on A Teacher Speaks. I am wearing a teacher hat. That's what you see up there. I did serve as a school board member for a term. I related to probably, I'm not sure, I didn't count, but somewhere between 42 and 52 different school boards because of school board turnover, of course. Teachers don't like school board turnover, but that does happen. My goal here in this time that we have together is I really do want to encourage you in your work. And I'm not here with a stick. I'm not here to make anybody feel badly. I really, really do have the goal of encouraging you in your work. I believe that you believe that the work of a school board is noble work and is a good work. It's kingdom work. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. Right? And I would offer that to you and as an encouragement in the good work. Colossians 1:10 says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every, say it, good work. That's right. I want to assure you of the need of this work and the appreciation of your teachers. I speak to a lot of teachers in the course of a school year with my work for Christian Light Education, going around visiting schools. And very clearly, we have teachers teaching today that do not want to go it alone. They really don't. Christopher Dock was one of those that did go it alone, needed to go it alone. But you are wanted, and you are needed. And it is true that there is some inherent tension, perhaps, between teachers and board. And I'm not here to massage that tension in untoward ways. I've considered, or I've experienced, frustration with school boards as well. But you're not going to be hearing about this aspect so much. Rather, I want you to leave encouraged and hear about things that are happening, that are right, and that are good. Teachers today are almost exclusively a product of schools similar in which they're teaching. And I think that's really a pretty big benefit in that this Christian day school movement has been around long enough now that teachers know what to expect from boards. That is an unspoken assumption. Just a word yet about the tone of this topic. I want it to be something that you can utilize. Utilitarian would be the word for it. Aiming at utility, something useful, designed for use. And hopefully you'll go with just a little bit broader understanding of what teachers think and how they think. I do not have a handout prepared simply because what I have to share is so simple it would look strange on a paper. Right? But I will put it on the board. That's the best I can do at cornering what teachers want. Teachers want to feel cared for, they want to be understood, and they want to be lightly governed by strong government. I'm going to expound on those just a little bit. And then I'm going to shift into a little bit of a different mode. And that is, I kind of went down memory's lane. I'm just going to give you, I think it's 30 little stories. And I want you to think about those 30 little stories and keep on reading this as I give you my 30 little stories. Okay? My wife told me I must stop now because, well, once I got started, it was hard to stop. But also, she's right in that we want to hear from you in the final section of this little time that we have together. It can be anything. What are you thinking? Do you have some questions? Do you have some balancing thoughts? Do you have some cautions? Do you have some criticisms? Do you have some whatever it is? We just want to hear from you. Let's talk a little bit about teachers wanting to feel cared for. I really think that this is the bottom line of board effectiveness. If I as a teacher feel cared for, you're doing a great job. Okay? I'm sorry, that word belongs there, and I know that it's the one that you don't like. All right? But I don't want B there. If I would have wanted B there, I would have put B there. Okay? We want to feel cared for. Right? And I know that's subject to interpretation. Right? But, hey folks, that's life. Right? Your teachers are going to be interpreting whether or not they feel cared for. Right? And that, you might be doing the right mechanics of school board duty. But ultimately, if your teachers don't feel cared for, you're kind of striking out. So know how to care for your teachers. And this varies with teachers. It takes you taking the initiative in conversation and communication. Some teachers feel that the board hired them and then said, well, if you need me, here's my phone number, text, call anytime. And then that's the last to hear of them. And some teachers have actually tried texting and calling anytime. And they didn't feel cared for, even when they did exactly what the board told them to do. All right? If you can somehow know that your teachers feel cared for, you're knowing some really good stuff. Right? Some younger teachers or beginner teachers, they might want lots of direction. But if a teacher is leaning into the harness and is developing the way you want them to develop, why, they're not going to feel cared for anymore if you keep treating them like the novice that they were a mere 3 years ago or 5 years ago, right? There it is. Sometimes your teachers might feel cared for when all you do is listen and don't even offer so many solutions. Or make a law, right? They might feel cared for just because you listened and all you said is, mm-hmm. And maybe offered to pray and prayed with them. I've felt that care already. Right? Teachers want to be understood. There's a lot of nuances to the teacher profession. Teachers want you to understand these nuances. Here are a few. Teachers live in a glass house. We feel like a fish in a fishbowl that's being held up in the center of the congregation, right? Because the stuff and the mistakes that we make, well, we know when they get talked about. They get talked about at supper time. And if that wasn't enough, and if the mistake was big enough, well, then it's talked about at board meeting yet. And then you come and start talking to us. But our phobias, our failings, they're fodder for the supper time discussions and for the congregation. Another thing that we want you to understand is that we really do have a lot of social planes that we're trying to balance. We have relationship plane between us and the students. We have relationship planes between us and the patron, between us and you, the board, fellow staff, the brotherhood. Some of us a youth group. It's quite a range of people. It's quite a range of perspectives that we sort of feel like the hub in. And we didn't realize all this when we said, yes, we'll teach your children. But when we got into it, we began to realize, oh, we got a spoke coming in here, we got a spoke coming in here. And it's poking in ways that are a little bit unhandy and a little bit uncomfortable. I want you to understand that. Another thing we want you to understand about school teaching is that it's really, really daily. Really daily. Day after day after day. The responsibility sometimes feels really heavy. And we feel pressured. And that stress gets a little tiring. Another thing teachers begin to realize is that they know too much about too many people in the congregation. And some of that is the seamy side of our fellowship and of our congregations. We understand the deficiency of homes in ways that we never saw before. And we're trying to figure that out. And most of us are young and idealistic. And that's a little bit of a jolt sometimes, what happens. Another thing that we want to be understood in is that we feel like we're subjected to just a lot of expectations. We feel pressure to perform and to do our job well. We want, but amongst all these pressures, we're to be invitational at all times to parents, to school board members, to students, invitational all the time. Yes, even if after prayer meeting, you want to get home because tomorrow's coming, you know, somebody wants to talk. Well, be invitational then, too. We feel like the expectations are pretty high. Another thing we want you to understand is that we can't take vacations very well. If we actually had a cottage by the sea for a week, well, we'd spend most of the days looking out to the ocean, wondering if we did as good as we could have or as good as we should have. And we mull over the students where we feel like we struck out. Those things haunt us. I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I guess because the program said, a teacher speaks. Right? Well, we want to be understood. We want to be understood with the stresses that come along with the job. We want to be understood with our perspectives. We want to be understood especially when we're having a problem. We really do want to know that we've been heard. That helps us feel cared for. Let's talk a little bit about being lightly governed by strong governments. I don't know what you thought when you saw that. It's actually not a very complex idea. What we're simply saying is that teachers want you to be there. We want you to be there good and strong when we need you. But we like taps on the shoulder and whispers in the ear better than we do, well, some other things. Right? It also has the idea that we want you to come in good and strong when we need you strongly. But we don't want to be smothered by helpfulness or unhelpfulness. Remember your father. You wanted him to be big and strong and to be able to do all the things you wanted him to be able to do. But when he dealt with you, well, that needed to be with tenderness. We want this from policemen, right? We want him to have enough heft to stop the neighborhood bully. But we want him to have enough care and understanding to hoist a little kid on his shoulder that got lost at the county fair, right? You want this from your church, right? You want a church that knows in considerable detail what it believes and how it practices those beliefs. You want a church that's able to ferret out error and trounce it before it ferrets and trounces us, right? But when that church deals with you, you want it to be like a shepherd deals with a lamb. We're talking about being lightly governed by strong governments. Lots of muscle, but lots of restraint. Lots of clout to deal with issues that need to be dealt with quickly and decisively. But we're not real excited about that clout being turned on us. Just like you. Just like you. Teachers are very normal folk. People everywhere want to be governed lightly by strong governments. The evidence piles up everywhere you look. And I think it's really a theological truth. People want to be lightly governed by strong governments because that's how God governs. The omnipotent, I'm reading now, the omnipotent governor of the universe is also one who invites us so tenderly. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All right, I have 30 stories. I hope you're nimble because I'm not going to give the setting. When I get done, I'm just going to be quiet. And if you choose to be quiet too, well, fine. The Quakers do that too. Right? But I hope that you act more Mennonite than Quaker. Thank you for arranging the annual school hike so I didn't have to do it, even though you were an avid armchair man. I have a specific school board member in mind for every one of these. We hiked that year a maximum of 250 feet into the woods when the children discovered bottles of Mountain Dew in the creek and a cooler with hot dogs behind a large rock. Now it made sense why you were wearing your gum boots. You splashed in and soon everyone was sipping Mountain Dew and roasting hot dogs. I'm sure you remember. I know I remember. I think every one of the 50-some students that year remembers. It was the best fall hike ever. Thank you for writing a saying on the board every time you came to visit. Like, once there was a man who wanted a fur coat. There was also a bear who wanted a lunch. They both got their wish. The remainder of your visits always consisted of you practicing MBWA, management by walking around. You simply showed interest in what we were doing. The children looked forward to your visits, and I did too. Thanks for telling me candidly. Some of the parents see you as a progressive. It makes them more than a little uncomfortable. So when we tell you to tone down your ideas, listen up. It's for everybody's good. Number four. Thanks for giving me a note during a difficult time that said, "You deserve a gold piece. Alas, I have none to give." The implications were tremendous. Thank you, school board chairman number five, who substituted. Thanks for telling me outright after you were in my room for 3 days when I had laryngitis. Your students are missing history. They're just not getting it. When I asked how so, how do you know, you replied, because I gave them a pop quiz orally and they didn't know their stuff. And then you offered, do you want me to come in tomorrow afternoon and I'll show you how to teach history? And so I sat in the back of the room and you taught history that day, and really taught history. All this is true. I mean, I'm feeling pretty deeply about this. Number six. Thank you for coming in every other Friday afternoon for faculty meetings without fail. You didn't want us to do any checking or anything else in those meetings because we were supposed to be listening to each other whine about our troubles. But we also needed to learn about the things that we could try and things we should let go and a host of other practical ways to run school. Number seven, thanks for asking questions when I came to you with a problem such as, why do you think that's a problem? Have you considered that? Well, what are some things you have tried? What are some things you could try? How do you suppose this would work out for you? Do you suppose other teachers have this problem? You forced me to analyze my own observations and come up with possible solutions. And then you enhanced them and sent me on my way. Number eight, thanks for telling me bluntly. When I said of a particular student, she's used to getting attention, you replied, well, there you missed it. She's not used to getting attention. She's actually almost got none. You're dealing with a neglected child, not one that's running rich. Number nine, thank you for the time that when one parent wanted me out of school, for the time when one parent wanted me out of school, yesterday wouldn't have been soon enough for them. I stopped in at your workplace. It was nearly 5 o'clock in the afternoon. School was to start the next day, and I wasn't sure if I should be there for it. You laid down your shop tools, and we talked. It got to the point where I asked, do you want me at school? You said yes. I asked about the rest of the board. You assured me that was a strong yes, too. By now, it was long after 5 o'clock. School was to start the next day. I asked, do you know what this means? You said, yes, I believe I have more work to do than you do before school starts tomorrow. Thanks for doing that work. I went to school the next day. The air was cleared at school. Thanks for clearing it with the parents. Number 10, thanks for comprehending my frustration the last week of school when we were making picture frames for our acid etching mirror project. Those mirrors turned out so well that the students wanted to frame them yet. I was at your place for supper, but really needed to be in the wood shop making more materials for frames because they had ruined so many pieces because of their miscuts. This would be the third time I was making picture frame material. You asked if we could go over to school and work together at figuring out how many frames were made and how many we needed to go, and how much material was needed. So we went. We had enough for about 10 frames out of 21. Unusable miscuts were lying around everywhere. You said, "Are you open to another idea?" I said, "Sure." And what you did next was totally unexpected. You said, "How about we go to Walmart and buy the rest? You only have a day and a half left this year. I think you're out of time." You were right. I was out of time. We went. You bought. The project was completed and the students were happy, but none so happy as their teacher. Number 11. Thank you for telling me I needed to give up my plans for school plans. All the young couples at church were going to have a couples evening roasting hot dogs one winter evening in our friend's fireplace. You knew hot dogs were important to me. Everyone knows hot dogs are important to me, especially with friends. But then you planned a board meeting and said, "I must come." I said, "Sorry, friends and hot dogs." You said, "Sorry, it will be board meeting. First things first." One of my friends said, "I should tell that board chairman where to get on and get off." I didn't. Instead, it established a mindset that has served me well for years, with lots of hot dogs in the meantime, but at more appropriate times. Number 12. Thank you for listening to my frustrations one afternoon about students who were very careless about their Bible lessons. This had been a plague for months and was getting worse, not better. You stopped in after school in your dump truck while doing your beat, hauling gravel. I spouted. You listened. I spouted more, warming to my own speech. You asked if I have time to haul gravel because there was a truck without a driver. I followed you for the rest of the afternoon hauling rock. Nearing supper time, you asked me if I'm going to be okay. I said, "I think so." You asked if I got my Bible class problem figured out. I said, "I think so." You said, "Do you need any of my help?" I said, "I don't think so. I think I got it." You said, "I thought so. You're going to be all right." Number 13. Thank you for listening in faculty meetings to my dilemma about what I should do about 7th and 8th grade history. The year was going to be finished long before the book was. You asked, "Do you have any ideas what you could do about the problem?" I said, "Sure, I have ideas." You said, "Pick one and do it." Surprised, I said, "Which one?" You said, "Simple, the best one." I asked, "Well, why aren't you telling me what to do?" By now, I should have known better than ask that question. You never answered me directly. Instead, you looked at the other teachers at that staff meeting and said, "That's what we need around here, teachers. People who can identify the problem and do what it takes to fix it without anyone else telling them what to do about it." I see now that you were pushing me on. Thanks for the push. We're at number 14 now. Thanks for traveling with me through the night to midterm teacher meetings. That's when we really got to know each other. Thanks for buying me breakfast. Thanks for the time you spend away from your families to take all of us teachers there and back again. I felt supported, cared for, and accompanied in the work. Thanks for when you, as a church leader who had been at board meeting that week, asked to team with me the afternoon our congregation had literature distribution because you said we needed to talk. You told me of the controversial decision that the school board had made, which I hadn't known about yet. You said you knew where I stood on the issue, and it wasn't a wrong position, but the board had chosen another way. I listened. You said you knew it could be discouraging, and I might even take it as an affront. I listened. You told me the board had a difficult time making that decision, and that my position had a lot of sympathy on the board, but it just didn't carry the day. I listened. But then you asked me to talk. I remember I was so upset I didn't want to. I remember looking at the door handle of the car, wanting to hop out, just walk off. You told me to tell me what I was thinking, so I did. You said I have a right to think that way. You even told me I have a right to be unhappy. But you also told me I must be happy in front of the students. No, the board would not come into school to deliver the blow. You said I was a teacher, not they. No, the decision could not be appealed. No, they are asking for my support anyway. Thanks for telling me those things. Thank you for being candid. Even though I was upset, I could easily tell you cared and were trying to bring me along. And so I came. Thanks for helping me come. We're number 16 now. Thanks for asking me my opinions when you built the new school. You treated me as if I was a professional of school design. Number 16, thank you for the times you stopped in totally random, often on the way to work in the morning, quite apparently with nothing on your mind at all, except to say have a good day. Thanks for getting in former students to take charge of the yearbook. It's always such a bother at the end of the year to be managing that yet. You knew how the end of the year can be, and you wanted it to end well and happily. It did. Number 18. Thanks for paying my airfare and sending me across the country to the school administration meetings because I expressed interest in them. The meeting was more for school board members, perhaps, but you said that since I was head teacher and they could only pay for one ticket, everyone agreed I should go. And I loved it. It cemented my relationship with you and school. You probably bought a few years of my service there along with that ticket. Thank you for regular paychecks. Well, some of my friends talked about not getting a check when the school was out of funds. That never happened to me, ever. Thanks for listening to my idea and telling me no. This time it was beanbag chairs for everyone that I thought needed one. You said beanbag chairs didn't have a place in the upper grades at school. You were right. I was wrong, even though I only wanted them for on Fridays. So I took your suggestion. We had tea on Fridays instead. That worked too. Number 21. Thank you for stolidly coming into my classroom and dragging an 8th grade girl's desk right out of the room for 3 days. You knew what I didn't. That last year was made unbearable and practically impossible by her lack of cooperation and arguing with the previous teacher. When it started again, the third week of school, you were ready for it and did what I would have never done, isolation for 3 days. It seemed harsh at the time, but you explained later. It still seemed a little harsh, but it worked. Now it doesn't look harsh at all. It only looks wise, because that's what it was. Number 22. Thanks for encouraging me to build a mini barn with my upper grade boys, not only 1 year, but three. Thanks for buying it then at fair market value when we were finished. Thanks for bringing in a welder with a teacher. The chicken roasters are still being used. Thanks for helping with a van painting project. And the time one of you brought pieces for birdhouses ready cut out, only needing assembly and painting. That was great. Thanks for asking me back for another year and smiling when I said yes. Thanks for helping every other year with my program of butchering a 120-pound hog for biology class. It was quite a project. But the year you brought in your grill and made pork and veggie kebabs, that one was especially memorable. I remember how you showed some of these city children for the first time where meat comes from and how you helped them take the meat out of the pig. Even though the neighbor's dog dragged off the pig's head and I didn't find it till late in the afternoon after trotting around the neighborhood, because of your help, I never lost my head those days that were so intense. Number 26. Thank you for coming back to me and apologizing for your unappreciative comments about the school program. Perhaps you don't remember that anymore. But it hurt because you yourself had approved the songs and had listened in on our practice sessions. And also we had worked pretty hard. It felt like a slap in the face. But 2 days later, you were back. And I wasn't the only one thinking this thing over. You said your comments were out of place for the same reasons that I thought, too, they were. And the apology was sincere. It strengthened our relationship. Number 27. I remember the time you were at the same workshop as I was at WFTI. And the instructor was giving some very practical tips about teamwork. He said we should be vulnerable with each other and open to each other's perspectives. He recommended teachers should take the plunge and open up to our principal or chairman and ask them what they see as our strengths and weaknesses. So I took the plunge, and I got more than I asked for. You told me some of the things you see as qualities and appreciable, but then you used capital letters to identify my biggest weakness. It started with a P and rhymes with hide. You went on to tell me things about myself I'd never seen in that way before. Thank you. A cold plunge, but thank you. You must have been a little concerned about how I would take it, because after you gave me your analysis documents, we met unexpectedly at Kmart, and the conversation was just a little tense. You asked me how it's going. You wondered all the normal stuff board members are supposed to wonder at an impromptu meeting at Kmart. And then you asked if I got it. I answered I had. And then you said, are you going to be okay? Not all of it was so very nice. And I told you I didn't want it to be nice, just honest. You said you tried to be honest, and I told you thank you. And then you went to your car, and I went on into the store. And I meant thank you when I said it. This was not frothy exchange, but either one of us. You really need to know that I carried that document in my attaché case with me wherever I went for several years until I quit teaching just a few years ago. That letter was a token of a lot of things that were quite important to me. Number 28. Thank you for the time I got a phone call while on my way home from school. I was sort of expecting it. It had been a hard day, and I had not responded as well as I should have to the perennial problem of boys wrestling at recess time. Well, actually, this time it was after recess, when they were supposed to be standing in line waiting for their turn at the water fountain. You wanted my side of the story. Thank you. But it was then that I heard that the accusation of the boys and the boys' parents was that I had kicked them. Thank you for letting me know. Thank you for thinking of the looping video surveillance in the building that had no doubt captured everything. Thank you for asking the boys if they wanted to come watch that video. Thank you for asking me if I had learned anything through the incident and what that was. And thank you for helping to patch things together again and close the case. Number 29. Remember the time when, without asking, I took one of the other teachers' English teachers' guides home for the weekend for my benefit, and then forgetting to return it after the weekend? Remember how upset you were as principal? I do. Remember how you took your frustration to the rest of the board and they heard all about it before I did? As principal, I guess you had the right to do that. I suppose you didn't have to talk to me about it. Remember how the chairman of the board came to me and told me to never do it again? Remember how the air was quite thick for a while after that between us? I remember I went to the board chairman and asked him if he feels things are at rest and if closure has occurred between the two of us regarding this incident. He suggested you and I sit down and talk, the two of us, so we did. I remember how you told me, this time face to face and not through the board chairman, that I am unbelievably thoughtless and irresponsible. But I remember you extending forgiveness, creating an understanding to prevent this kind of thing from happening again, and then saying, quote, this is behind us. The matter is closed. Thank you for closure. I see I have 31 here. Number 30, we had planned a school closure for midterm teacher meetings that were then canceled last minute because of a snowstorm that made it none too wise to do long distance travel. You said we'll just have school after all that day, just like normal. We teachers thought it couldn't be. We were tired, hot, and sweaty. This was February, after all. We teachers were in shock. We couldn't lose our vacation just like that. So I carried a unanimous appeal from the teachers to you, the board, to close school anyway. Yes, for all 3 days it had been planned originally. You didn't like it. There was an exchange that nobody really enjoyed because we simply weren't seeing this the same. You asked what it would say to the students. I asked you to think more in terms of what it would say to the teachers. After some deliberation, you decided to stuff your own feelings and say it to the teachers. With that decision, you told us our preferences are important. Our rests and our breaks are important too. Our time apart and away from students is important. Our voice is important. Our feelings are important. I don't remember which was more refreshing, the day off school or your decision to bless the teachers with the break. And the last one. Thank you for the pickup truck that pulled in with a load of firewood not once but twice the same day. We were burning scraps in the fireplace of the rental house. It was the year I was paying the landlord $750 a month for rent and my salary at school was $1,750. We had 3 children. You said we need more than wood scraps to burn, but I was too tight to spend for firewood when the scraps were free. You understood. You cared. Thank you. All right, it's just about your turn. I'd like to share this yet. Acts 15:3 says some pretty interesting things about Paul when he was on a missionary journey. There's this little phrase that sort of captures my attention. That's my testimony. It says, "And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and caused great joy to all the brethren." Being brought on their way by the church. That's what I wanted. I like that. It's what I experienced so many times between, or on the interactions between me and the board. I want to make a heartfelt appeal. This building is full of ambitious youth. And it scares me a little. You see, when a person's idealism is soiled, it's a pretty vulnerable time. You're all at a key position. Do what you can do to help your teachers feel care and understanding. And God bless you as you figure out how to lightly govern by a strong government. Your turn.
Any tips on helping teachers to feel free to share at board meetings?
All right, great question. Communication has to happen for these things to happen. But what if your teachers don't speak up? All right. Yes, I don't have your formal board meeting. Have breakfast at 6 o'clock in the morning and you make it. All right, and I think they'll talk. All right. Food does an amazing thing for meetings. Maybe there's some other suggestions. Another thing that can be awkward is we have our sisters teaching and they don't maybe feel the most comfortable sharing with men. I've known situations where some school board wives came along to aid in that. Or maybe even appointing a school board wife. This needs to be done with the agreement of everybody out front as a board, but one of the ladies in the church perhaps being that contact person. Generally, young ladies can talk. You just got to figure out what kind of environment will bring it out.
I'm curious, how many were all of your stories memories of different people?
No, some of them overlapped. They were all very true, but they weren't all the same people.
I find it really hard to sincerely care, sincerely understand when I got big reservations. And so I'm sort of feeling pretty bummed because, you know, the stories you told, they were people that were paying attention. But that's why I asked, can I maybe do it one time and make that story for that teacher? How many of these stories were from the same guy?
You're intelligent thinking folks. Let's help Brother Paul. Well, Paul, you know me fairly well now. 20 years ago, it was a whole lot worse.